Hey, welcome to our Intentional Living Center. We're going to step into the marriage room today, focusing on marriage, what it means to be married and God's intention for marriage. It's something that we want. It's something that we don't know how to do all that well. It's something we struggle with, and unfortunately, it's something that many fail at and then do it again. How can we be more intentional in our marriage? Our phone line is open to you from our Intentional Living Center.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Randy's a conference speaker and coach, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center, and your advocate for the family. If you're married and you've got questions, now is the time to call 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
Okay, thank you much, Kurt. And it may be that it's hard for you to think of something you're real thankful for at this point because you're hurting. We want to talk to you as well. Our lines have been very busy, always the case whenever we focus on marriage. And we're going to get to your questions on marriage today or your comments or stories as you call 888-888-1717. You know, the verse that we kind of really cling to here at Intentional Living is from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, all through this passage, talks about relationships, about husbands and wives and kids and parenting and work. But preceding all of that, he talks about figuring out what pleases Christ and then doing it, Ephesians 5:10. In the Message, Eugene Peterson puts it that way, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. And then just a few verses later in 15, Paul says, be very careful, underline the word very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Marriage is an interesting thing. You know, When I decided that I wanted to go into counseling, I wanted to work with people. I went to the university and trained in marriage and family counseling, then went on and did a doctorate in psychology and counseling. Why? Because of looking at what God intends for marriages and families to be about, and yet we wrestle with it. And I wrote down just before we started the program here, when we think of marriage, we want it, we desire it, we don't know how to do it, we struggle with it, many fail at it, and then we get up and do it all over again. And as I tell people in my conferences, first marriages, about 50% will end in divorce. We know those that are growing spiritually and active in church together tend to have a much lower divorce rate, and that's good. But generally, on the whole, on the average, about 50% of marriages end in divorce. Second marriage is about 60%. Third, about 70%. So if practice made perfect on this thing, we wouldn't have a problem. But obviously, it's a challenge. And we believe very strongly here at Intentional Living, we cling to this, that we honor God when we honor our commitments in our marriage. And we make them work. And when it fails, you know, you've been hurt by it. Even our own staff, many who have been through a loss in their marriage, we understand this. But at the same time, if you're married today, let's be intentional. Let's do what God intends for us to do. And if we can be a help, we're here to do that. 888-888-1717. Get into the calls in just a minute.
Living intentionally and making a decision to live for Christ and to just walk with Him, He rewarded me for my obedience. And I just want to tell all those men out there that your marriage can be saved and to just be intentional. My wife and I's marriage is stronger than ever now.
You only can do take one thing and try not to change everything and just take one thing and work on it.
I want to be more like Jesus and help others intentionally.
Regarding your question of intentional living, I decided to forgive him. We are going to treatment with him and I'm trying to support him through this.
Boy, what great stories. Thank you guys for sharing in and plugging in with us. And just that little bit of advice, that little experience that you've had is helping somebody. There's somebody in Florida, someone in Chattanooga, Tennessee, someone in Detroit, someone maybe listening in Phoenix or somewhere that just needed to hear what you had to share. Thank you. Thank you. 888-888-1717. Melissa, welcome to the program, my dear.
Hi, is this Dr. Carlson?
Yes, it is. Appreciate
your
call.
Hi, thank you very much for your time. And I'm calling because I'm definitely struggling in our relationship.
Okay, what's up?
We've been married 22 years, together 27 years. together. Mm-hmm. Just found out in August that my husband had an affair, and along with the other addictions that went with it. Now, I filed for a divorce, and he wants to stay married. I would love to stay married, but it's like we go 10 steps forward. Or one step forward and 10 steps backwards. And nobody we talk to can seem to understand about the addiction behaviors and how do we move forward and how can I trust him?
Now, a question, Melissa, when you talk about other addictions to what? Pornography?
Yes.
Okay. Is he getting help for this?
That's the thing. Nobody understands. You know, we've gone to see...
No, I mean him, not we. I mean, is he getting help for what you say is he would like to?
He would like to, but we don't know whom was specialized in the special addiction that he has.
Melissa, I think one it's interesting the word you use. We talk about we as though this is a we issue.
It is a we issue because I'm the spouse and I don't know how to get over this. You know, the emotional, I have ups and downs and, uh-huh. and then I'm, you know, I'm getting caught in this addictive behavior as well.
Yeah, I hear that.
Because we both need help.
Yeah, but what I'm asking, Melissa, is he taking responsibility for his addiction, as you call it, his behavior and getting help, or is this something you feel you have to drive, you have to carry the ball to get help for him?
You know, he would like to get help. He's gone to see, you know, our local pastor. And but even then, it's like, you know, not even the pastor understands the addiction he is going through.
Uh-huh.
He definitely wants help, but okay. I don't see a change in his behavior. That's why I filed for the divorce. He had 2 months to change his behavior, and I haven't really seen the change in the pattern mm-hmm. of his behavior.
Well, Melissa, God holds a very high standard for marriage, and we do too, because we know that it honors God, and I'm pro-marriage, I'm pro-building marriage, pro-making marriages work. There are times within a marriage when there has to be a confrontation because of the behavior is such that it's destructive. God doesn't intend for us to allow addiction and patterns of addiction or other kinds of patterns of really bad behavior to be a part of a Christian couple's marriage, and it has to be confronted. I would just ask you, Melissa, to think about a couple of things. It's interesting the terminology you're using. You know, we can't find something, and we you know, it's kind of like it's we. And I understand that you're in this together, but he needs to deal with his issues, Melissa. He's got to deal with his addiction. One of the steps in getting healthy is taking a 100% responsibility for my behavior, my actions, my thoughts. And it's not a matter of, I'd like to get help or I want to get help. There's help available, and your pastor is a good starting point, but if he's not able to help your husband, then your husband needs to see a psychologist. Find a Christian counselor, psychologist, someone to help him deal with whatever this is, as you call it, a sexual addiction. There's help available. There's ministries available. There's books available. There's help available. And if he's serious about wanting to get help, there's help available. In your case, you need to get some help for yourself, what you're wrestling with, and so on. And making sure that the two of you are getting healthy, growing healthy, and dealing with the underlying issues. Now, divorce may be what's in your future. And, you know, I hate to see divorce occur. Sometimes it does. But I'll tell you what, before people jump into divorce, I would hope they would really, really ultimately seek God and seek the help that they can get to make their marriage work. But our prayer for you is that the both of you will find the kind of help and that you will make an intentional decision to say, we're going to trust God to get the help that we need. Because, yeah, the divorce is always an option. I mean, you know that. It's there. But I would hope that wouldn't be something that would have to be. It's not required because of this behavior that the two of you could find the help ultimately to make this marriage work.
See, and absolutely, and that's what I was telling my husband the other night. I would love to stay in the marriage if you had even given me a ray of hope, but, that, you know, there's nothing. I mean, there's no change.
And that's,
you
know, why the ball has to be in his court, Melissa. If there isn't a change, that's another issue. If your husband's saying, hey, I'm not changing, I am doing what I'm doing, I am who I am, that's the way it is, then you need to get your eyes off your husband and get some help for yourself to sort through what these issues are and how you're to respond to it. And I'll tell you, when we think about what happens in marriages, not only in Melissa's and her husband's, but in all marriages, Satan loves to come in and find ways of undermining the sanctity and sacredness of that relationship. But at the core of the problems that I see in marriage over and over and over continue to come back to a sense of selfishness. I want it my way. I want to do it my way. Ultimately, that's what creates the biggest problem in relationships, and it is a huge issue in marriage. And when I see people approaching problems in marriage without acknowledging the fact that at the core we are selfish human beings and we want it our own way, when we get married, we have to give up a part of that. We have to realize, as the scripture says in Ephesians 5:21, just before, the verse before, it tells wives, submit to your husbands. The very verse before that says, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. And when we submit one to another, we're willing to get the help that we need to take care of the issues in our life. Otherwise, marriages come to what you hear Melissa struggling with right now, and understandably so, because God never intended for us to allow addictions and behaviors that are just destructive to be a part of marriage. God never intended that. Let me go to Rebecca, who's next online here in Florida. Rebecca, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's your question today?
My question is, I've been dating somebody for about a year, and I love him very much, and I would love to go to the next step. I'd love to be able to get married. And as Christians, you know, we go to church and people see us together, and the very first thing they ask is, when are you guys going to get married? But his mother does not like me.
Oh,
but she says,
why not?
She says she doesn't know why she don't like me and why she couldn't put her finger on it. But I want to have her blessings, and I would do anything for his mother, and I haven't done nothing to not get her to not like me.
What does your boyfriend tell you?
That he's committed to maybe to take care of her at this moment because she's 80 years old, and he needs to finish taking care of her first.
Well, here's the bottom line, Rebecca. When we get married, we marry the whole enchilada, as they say. You marry the whole deal. You marry the family, the in-laws. It's all part of the deal. It comes with the package. People like to think it doesn't, but it does. And even when a person says, well, no, my family's not involved in my life, then that statement alone tells you that there's something going on. What's going on? In other words, we bring everybody to the altar when we get married in some piece, little pieces of all the past. And if your mother-in-law-to-be is saying, I don't like you, I don't know what it is, can't put my finger on it, but I just don't like you, and your fiancé or your boyfriend is saying, hey, and I'm committed, I have to care for my mom, and this is going to be a priority, you got problems.
Big problems.
You got problems. And so whatever it is before the marriage only gets worse after the marriage. Bottom line, if it's there with a yellow light before marriage, it's a flashing red light after you get married.
Yeah, I think she thinks that if he is committed to me, that he wouldn't be taking care of her.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably what she's thinking. It's a control thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what are you going to do?
I just pray about it and hope that God gives me her blessings, you know.
And what if she doesn't? What if she doesn't?
I guess I have to move forward, you know, because I want a guy that loves the Lord with all his heart, and I want a guy that's committed to me. I don't know how long should I wait.
Well, only you can answer that, but I think you articulated it well, and that's what you need to make clear to him. And I appreciate that. I mean, if we had more young women and men who had standards of saying, hey, this is what I believe and why, and not allowing their emotions to rule over these kinds of decisions, we'd be better off. You just articulated a very powerful statement of your values about marriage and what you want, and I think the young man needs to know it, and time is a decision as far as you have to make, but I can tell you this, if people jump into a marriage relationship, again, when there's problems before you get married, I'm telling you, they don't go away. Time just doesn't make it better whatever's there before you get married will be there after you get married as well.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Have you joined our Facebook family? Listen to some of the comments. Hello, I just wanted to say that listening to your radio program is so helpful to me. Last week when you were speaking about expiring friendships, that was for me. Thank you. And another listener said, I get to listen to your program weekdays after I leave work and on the way home. I now see I can improve my life and reactions. And one more, sometimes I do think there's really hard stuff for me to obey because I've had a disrespectful attitude for so long. But little by little, I'm taking small steps. Thank you for inviting me to spend more time honoring God's law. And that's not only Facebook, but that's the power of one thing. Join our Facebook family today. Go to theintentionallife.com and click on the Facebook icon. That's theintentionallife.com. Dr. Randy's got more for your marriage. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hello?
Jen, I'm glad I got you. What am I going to do?
Well, first you got to settle down. What's up?
It's Brad. He's been, well, nice. I mean, he's nice anyway, but lately he's like really...
Nice?
Yeah. I thought buying that Star for Affection book, he might read it, but whew.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks for having Tom suggest it.
Develop a more intimate relationship with your spouse by building your marriage the biblical way. Order Star for Affection by Dr. Randy Carlson at theintentionallife.com.
Having instant access to important information is something we've come to expect as part of life in this day and age. And now, you can have instant access to a plan for success in every area of your life with the mobile app from the Intentional Living Center. Search by topic for audio and video clips from Dr. Randy Carlson on things like marriage, finance, parenting, and more.
I will show you how to create a clear picture for your future.
You can interact with the Intentional Living blog and even listen to the daily program at a time that works for you. Download it today for instant access to things that matter from the Intentional Living Center.
With my first cup of coffee.
First thing at the office, before staff meeting.
When do you go to the Intentional Living Facebook page?
I look at it every morning on my elevator ride to the office. Really?
Each morning right after I drop off the kids.
Have you visited the Intentional Life page on Facebook today? Stay intentional with words from Dr. Randy, comment on wall posts, and share about what's going on in your life, too. And be sure to share the encouragement with someone you care about. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open at 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
All right. Thank you much, Kurt, and welcome back here to the Intentional Living Center. I'm Randy Carlson. We're focusing on marriage on this Monday, focusing on what it means to have an intentional marriage and very passionate about making marriages work. I can tell you what, if you're looking for an advocate for marriage, it's me, and certainly God's Word, the Bible. This is a big deal. The Bible is not quiet about marriage. In fact, it has more to say about marriage than a lot of the other things that we sometimes argue about and discuss. And it's a big deal because it's a picture of God's love for the church. And I know in this audience, maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe you've been remarried. You look back and you have regrets yourself about your part in that, or you have frustration or anger or hurt as a result of what your ex-spouse did in the marriage. And we have choices to make as we move forward in our lives. Are we going to allow the past to dictate the future? Or are we going to stop and say, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness or whatever is needed at this point in my life? And then move forward in obedience to what the Scripture has to say. So I'm speaking not retrospectively, but moving forward from this moment where you are today. The Bible says, and just preceding all of this teaching in Ephesians chapter 5 about marriage, Paul kind of teeing up the ball for us. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. As we get into Scripture and understand that the Bible is not quiet on issues of marriage and parenting and relationship and forgiveness and setting standards and all of these things that matter. So I would challenge you today to be intentional from this very minute in time moving forward when it comes to doing what God would have you do and be who God intends for you to be in your relationship and marriage. You know, I wrote a list of 10 reasons not to get married. Of course, this is for single people. But one of the things I did say on this list was discussing this thing of addiction. You know, when a person has something in their life, an unresolved addiction problem, that needs to be dealt with. And it can be pornography, it can be drugs, it can be alcohol, it can be any number of things that would keep a person from being fully engaged in their marriage to another person. We talked about that earlier. And that's why I encourage you, if you have a problem in this area, get help for yourself, for your family, for your future, for your kids, for your marriage. Because you know, if whatever you're addicted to is going to keep you from living the life that God intended for you to live. Come join us, 888-888-1717. As we go to the calls, we got Giselle. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I recently got married. I got married on October 8th. We've been arguing almost every day.
Uh-huh. What do you argue about?
Every single thing.
Okay. Did you argue before you got married?
Yes. We were living together, and we had some things happen in our lives, and for the first time in my life, I ended up in jail because I wanted to be present wherever he wanted to be.
All right. So you've been very... very controlling?
Not controlling. I just knew what he was doing, and I knew he could get in trouble, so I wanted to be there.
Well, let me ask you, do the two of you married a month ago, do you still want to be married?
I don't want to be fighting anymore. I don't think he can change, so I don't think I do.
So when you got married a month ago, why was it you got married?
Because I wanted to follow God's things. Like I was started to go to church and mm-hmm. I didn't want to be in sin.
Okay, well, let me encourage you before you do anything at this point. In terms of saying, hey, I want out of this marriage, because your emotions are going to be up and down and you want to follow God's teaching and what the Bible teaches, you need to be in counsel with somebody who's going to help you think this through in more detail and really pray it through. And I would hope for you and for your husband, no matter what's gone on in the past, that God is still a God capable of loving and healing and restoring and moving a couple forward. I know that's not always the outcome. I recognize that. My head's not in the sand. I recognize that doesn't always happen. But that's God's intention. And so I would encourage you, and I appreciate the fact that you're listening to the program, but I would encourage you to do two things. Begin praying for God's direction in your life from the Holy Spirit to lead your life. And number two, that you immediately seek counsel for yourself, and hopefully the two of you could go into counseling to really talk about your relationship and about your life and your decisions and your future, because God is a God of restoration and a God of healing. But again, I want to leave with you this very important reminder. Make this a matter of prayer and make it a matter of finding somebody who is respected and capable and competent to counsel, to help you think this through from a biblical perspective, because you've got a lot of things on the table that are very real issues, and they need to be dealt with in your own personal life, obviously, with what you've been through. But right now, you need that kind of help to give you perspective and a sense of direction for the future.
Hi, my name is Donna. I had recently started listening to your program, and I didn't know if I did love my spouse.
Some of you here in your marriage today are very discouraged. Some of you here today have chosen to not thrive in your marriage. That's a decision.
We're recently married, 4 years. We're still newlyweds. And after one of your shows, I discovered that love was a choice. And now that I know it was a choice, I know that I love my husband with all my heart, and I know he loves me. And I never knew what love was.
Here's a mistake I think we make in our Christian walk too often. We think once we become a Christian, our marriages are going to be okay. That isn't what the Bible promises us.
And I just want to let you know that it is totally true. If you make a choice and pursue it, your feelings do change. And I just want to say thank you for your program. I listen to them every night on the way home.
Wow, Donna, thank you for telling us that and reminding us that what the things that we share, the things that we learn from Scripture can settle into a heart and change a mind and change a life and change a marriage. And just to sort of echo and expand on what you shared, the fact that love is a choice. In fact, living is a choice. Getting up every day and choosing to live obediently in Christ, choosing to walk by faith, choosing to be faithful, choosing whatever it is a choice. And there's consequences for those choices. And that's why when we decide in our marriage to, or in any relationship, we choose to love and we choose to honor. Boy, you know, that makes a difference. So thank you for reminding us of that. You know, as I hear that testimony and hear the clips from the teaching on marriage, I'm reminded that throughout the year, we get an opportunity every month, every 30 days, to send a CD right out to our members across the country, 3,600 members who support the ministry every month. And I'm going to invite you to come and join us before we close out this year to be a part of this, and so I can include you in and come alongside and mentor and encourage you as well. And this month, for instance, is on the topic of marriage, how to have an intentional marriage. What is the process of being intentional in your marriage? Next month, as you sign up today, we're going to include this for next month, as you'll receive the one on finance. And we're going to talk about how to be intentional with your finance. And I give you really specific things you can do. We go through the top 10 list. I give you what intentional living teaches about finance. And so every month, a brand new teaching, a brand new topic about living intentionally. And I hope that you're enjoying them. Thank you for your feedback. And if you're not a member, come and join us today. It's very simple. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And you can join in support of the ministry. Now, tomorrow's a big day. I think a favorite of the holidays for many, Thanksgiving. As we'll be together as a family, we will be. Hopefully you will be as well. And if not, that you have an opportunity to reach out to others and minister to others. But a day of giving thanks for all of God's goodness. So join us for the Thanksgiving program tomorrow as we give intentional thanks. And then talking about finance, coming up, one thing on finances, how to get started for this Christmas season intentionally. Okay, we'll see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.